Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do, when
and one
was
day
a little girl,
I grew up,
when
and
I started to live alone.
Tune into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host and moderator is Overseer-elect Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back, cross these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I just want to open up the podium. I want to present the chat room I have available for your sitting as well as your listening pleasure. I want to cordially invite all of you, my guests, my first-time listeners, my Kingdom Assembly Congressional, Kingdom Congressional Assembly. I want to welcome my kinship family, and all of you that are out there in my live digital audience on this morning. I just want to also send a shout-out to all of my loyal and faithful continued listeners of the Old Ship of Zion. You have been with this program from its early birth, its early beginnings, until the present, and I want to thank you from my very heart and soul. And may God richly bless you and keep you, is my prayer. All right, so once again, you are tuned in to, this is a live, hallelujah, this is a live praise, it's a virtual praise and worship church experience. This is not a pre-recording, but we're coming to you live on your podcast dial. And I just want to thank all of you that continually to make this program a part of your audio archive. Hallelujah. And so we're going to go into our prayer. We do a prayer when we come across this podium. This is our first program in our new year. Praise God. We just thank God for bringing us through. God brought us over. And we just thank God for this opportunity once again to come before your presence, hallelujah, with the gospel of Jesus Christ in its entirety, hallelujah. And so we're going to just send condolences out to those of you who have lost a loved one. May it be your spouse, may it be your grandparents, may it be an uncle or aunt or niece or nephew, a sibling, may it be a birth of a son or daughter that you lost, may it be a caregiver, may it be an attorney, a doctor, your designated nurse, whomever it might be, we want you to know that you're not alone in your hour of bereavement. You have prayer warriors that are praying all around this galaxy, praying for you and I for them. So we are praying, God said, one for another. We're praying for you, and those are those that God has designated to pray for us as well. So you are not alone. You might be spiritual alone, but I want you to know, you might be bodily alone, but spiritually speaking, you're not alone, because we're in this love together. We're talking about the spiritual kingdom love of God. You are not alone. And we're praying that God will restore the joy that you once knew and restore restoration unto your heart and soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. All right. So now we're going to go now into our opening program. So we do that. We just send that out to uplift those that are burdened, right now. And we send that out to encourage your heart and soul. And so now we're going to go into our opening prayer. And this is opening up our program. And so we want to just, you know, like I said, just make you welcome, bring all of your OJ, your water beverages, your chip and your dip, and whatever you want to sip, all your digital devices, may it be your smartphone, may it be your tablet, may it be your computer, whatever digital devices that you have at your disposal, we're asking you to bring them aboard. Get comfortable as I present on you the divine word of truth. So I want you to bow your beautiful heads, if you will, as we go down in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you're such a gracious God. We thank you, God, for allowing us this podium, allowing us the liberty, God, to bring before the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we know that when you went away, God, you said that you went to prepare a place for us, and that upon your return, you would receive us unto yourself. But until that time is upon us, well, God, we will continue in your will and in your way, God. Hallelujah. Moving upward and onward, God, we continue to just mount up from the four corners of this earth, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land, because we know that this is not our designated home. We're just, in other words, we're just guests at this time, because we have a home that's not made by the hand of man, but Jesus Christ is its builder. And so, like I said, we will continue to move in the direction as God will have us to go, as winning souls for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we just thank you, God, because we want to identify who you are. We know that you are our Lord and our Savior and our soon coming Messiah. Your identity is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are a native of Nazareth, yet you was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 light years ago. But you are now, you're not dead, but you're much alive, God, and you're sitting in your heavenly dominions, God. Not in the rear, not in the middle, not on the edge, but you're sitting on the right-hand side of your Father, God. And we just thank you once again for giving us this opportunity, God, to be a messenger, to be a witness, to be eyes, to be hands and feet for you, Jesus. And we thank you so graciously. Thank you for this opportunity, God. And we just thank all of you that just gathered in the audience on this morning. And may God bless you in our new year of 2019. So without any further ado, we're going to take you into a live program that's already in progression. And so our subject or a sermon on this morning entitled Crack Lenses. I want to say that one more time. A sermon on this morning entitled Crack Lenses. Hallelujah. And so we're going to be taking, hallelujah, our key scripture out of the law of Psalms. And it reads this: My eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord in you, I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. And that scripture reading, once again, is coming out of the law of Psalms 141:8. Hallelujah. And so we're talking about depending and focusing on Christ. We are turning our eyes upon Jesus. And we are to look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And we're talking about when we are experiencing pain, when we are experiencing discomfort, when we are experiencing a struggle, we are experiencing a discomfort, we are experiencing trials and tribulations of this world, when we don't know where to turn and who to turn to. I want to encourage you on this morning to focus your eyes on Jesus, because Jesus cares for you and I and us. I don't want you to be despondent, even though you might be despondent. But I don't want you to be despondent, but I want you to look clearly, hallelujah, through the spiritual lenses and look upon God, whom is our comforter. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Jesus loved us to the point of death. He went to Golgotha's mountain, and God carried his own cross. God was whipped with 39 stripes across his back. And if that wasn't enough, God was pierced in his side. The Bible says, till sweat and blood came spurting out. God was nailed in his right hand and his left hand, placed upon a Roman cross, and then one foot placed upon the other, spikes from the top layer to the very last layer of God's flesh of his feet. That's how much God loved you and I on this morning. God loved us to the point of death. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You know, in this life, pain often functions like cracked lenses. He create within you and I and us a conflict between what we experience and what we believe. We find out that pain can give you and I and us a badly distorted perspective on life and on God. And in those times when you and I and us, we need our God to provide for us with new lenses to help you and I and us to see clearly again. That clarity of sight usually began when we turn our eyes upon the Lord. We find out that the psalmist encouraged us to do this. So my eyes are upon you. O God, the Lord, in you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Hallelujah. That scripture was our key reading on this morning, coming out of the law of Psalms 141 and 8. Seeing God clearly can help you and I and us to see life experiences more clearly. Hallelujah. So as we turn our eyes to the Lord in time of pain and struggle, we will experience his comfort, his hope in our daily lives. He will help us to see everything clearly again. Hallelujah. So I would just encourage you to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Focusing on Christ, put everything in perspective. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. The Bible tells us, says, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange things happen to you. And that scripture is coming out of the law of 1 Peter 4 and 12. We don't understand the circumstances that surround us. It's easy to be shaken by life alarm. Hallelujah. Peter generation experienced the same thing as we are experiencing in this generation. His warning was simple. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you. And that scripture reading once again, coming out of the law, 1 Peter 4 and 12. The trials and heartaches of life may sound like a call to evacuate, to run away or to respond to life in ways that are disheartening and destructive. But we would do well to listen more closely to our Lord. The trials may be nothing more than a reminder that our trust is to be in God and not in people. We can trust Him in those times when the alarm starts to sound. We can trust our loving Savior to protect from life's alarm. He's prepared a place of refuge safe within His mighty arm. We know that life challenges you and I and us are not designed to break us, but to bend us toward God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. I know there may be someone that's going through some trials right now. Might be saying, overseer elect Ward, you don't understand. I don't have one dime to my name. I don't have a place to lay my head out of the bad weather, the storm, out of harm's way, out of the danger zone. But I want to encourage your heart on this morning that God is a supplier. And God said that He said He would supply yours and mine and our need accordingly to His riches in glory. I want you to know that God owns everything. Everything that we have, everything that's on this planet belongs to God. And God so graciously lends us what He wants us to partake of. Even our children is a loan. Our cars is a loan. Our homes, our houses is a loan. The money that we're able to use and have at our expenditures belongs to God. The money that you have in the bank belongs to God. But He so graciously placed it at our disposal to use as we please. But it rightfully belonged to God. We're talking about cracked lenses on this morning. We're talking about turning our focus on Jesus when we're experiencing pain and discomfort in our personal lives, in our Christian walk with God. And God said, as long as we're here on planet Earth, we will experience trials and tribulations. Only when we have moved from the earthly house to the heavenly house, we will be without the pain and sorrow of this world. Hallelujah. God says that in His heavenly home that He has provided for you and I and us, there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering, there will be no heartache and pain, there will be no more glaucoma, there will be no more dementia, there will be no more cancer. Hallelujah, Jesus. All of those things will be put away with, will be put in the sea of forgetfulness, and to remember those things anymore. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus said that He would wipe the tears from yours and mine's eyes, and we won't have to cry no more. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Jesus wiping away yours and mine and our tears for the final curtain call? For the final time, Jesus will wipe the tears from yours and mine and our weeping eyes for the final time. We won't have no time to cry in glory. We will be praising God every day. God said will be Sunday, and Sabbath will have no end. It will be no need for night fare, because every day will be howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you will wipe our weeping eyes for the final time. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul used a metaphor of training and competition in his letters. He said that he was a missionary to the Gentiles, submitted to the instructions and drill of God amid great suffering and hardship. And we find out twice in the law of Philippians 4. He said, I have learned, in verse 11 through 12, I have learned, hallelujah, in whatever state I'm in, to be content. For him and for each of us, we know that following Jesus is a lifelong learning process. We're not spiritually mature the day we are saved, any more than a schoolboy athletic is ready for professional soccer. We grow in faith as we allow God through his word and the Holy Spirit to empower you and I and us to serve him. Through hardship, Paul learned to serve God well. So we can too also. It's not pleasant, but it's rewarding. The more teachable we are, the more mature we will become. As members of Christ's team, let us be coachable. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that God's work in us isn't over. When we receive Christ, it has just begun. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we're talking about cracked lenses. We are talking about our trials and our tribulations that we experience while we are here on planet Earth. We know that Jesus himself took our infirmities and he bore our sickness. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Matthew 8 and 17. Hallelujah. You know, we can trust the great physician. As we read the gospel, we see that God the Father's face in the tender, compassionate face of Jesus. Many of us struggle with our thoughts about God, especially during illness. Perhaps we grew up attending church that portrayed an angry God who inflicted sickness on us. Can we trust him? We turn to the gospel for our reason to trust God. We find it in his son Jesus, who was unfailingly compassionate toward those who were afflicted, regardless of the reason. Hallelujah. So you and I and us, we pray, Lord, deliver me. We know that God, therefore, deliver us from these vain imaginations. The belief that by our sin we have forfeited God's goodness and mercy. And we know that that is far from the truth. We know that the great physician known our natural infirmities, for he has them and knows the weight of our sins, for he paid a dear price for them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. The cross of Jesus is the supreme evidence of the love of God for you and I and us. God loves us. God cares all about us. God cares about our pain and our suffering, our agony that we succumb here on planet Earth. We know that because of sin in the Garden of Eden brought on this sickness, brought on these trials and tribulations that we encounter here on planet Earth. Hallelujah. We know that when trouble comes into our lives, we sometimes feel as if we have been hit broadsided. We feel desperation, and then we wonder, why is this happening to me? One possibility is that God is using a painful experience to get yours and mine and our attention. In the law of Psalms 119 and 71, David wrote, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Hebrew 12 and 11 say that chastening yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I want to ask you on this morning, is God using pain in your life to lovingly persuade you to change? We find out that the reason of trouble is it. But if we let ourselves be trained by it, new growth will result as we become more like his son. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Affliction for God's people can be the pruning knife to prepare us for greater fruitfulness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. No chastening seemed to be joyful for the present, but it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God do not bring harm upon us because he get a kick out of bringing despair and despondency upon us and in our lives. But it is a teaching tool for you and I to be strong, to be able to say, I know where you've been because I've been where you're standing. I've been in your shoes. Only through experience can we be in someone else's shoes. Not through what somebody told us, what we read or what we heard, but what you and I have experienced in our own lives. Hallelujah. Through the life, hallelujah, that we have experienced, only can we be encouragement to someone else, to some other sister or brother, hallelujah, that's experiencing pain and suffering on this morning. And you know, I can say, because last evening I had posted my program to come on, I believe at 8 p.m., and God changed my whole program around. You know, we can start out leaving our home to do one thing and to come back, but God can change our whole itinerary around because God owns us. God paid the ultimate price. The Bible says that we are not of our own, but we were bought with a price. And that price was the blood stain of Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty that we could not pay. Even if we tried, we could not pay it, because you had to be sin-free. You had to be blemish-free, and you had to be holy. And God was the only candidate that fit the identity of a holy one that was able to carry the weight of the world upon his shoulder, was able to take 39 stripes across his back, was able to be spit upon with old nasty spit. Hallelujah. cursed and mocked, pierced in his side. He was the only, the only one that could go in yours and mine's in our stead. A holy God. Jesus sent his only begotten Son to pay the penalty for the sins of this world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, Psalm 42 and 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. You know, as we live in this society, we know that when you're experiencing your pain and your suffering, your trials and your tribulations, people are going about their ordinary way. They don't know you. Some of them might know you and some don't know you, but people are just going on about their own business. Hallelujah. And we know that all giving the scene of an ordinary feeling, but the impact of the disaster that you are experiencing is still there. You know, you might be going through a spiritual disaster, spiritual tsunami. It might have gone underground in your heart and in your mind. And of those that has actually been through a live tsunami, hallelujah, they might have the survivors gone underground in their minds and in their hearts. But it would not be easily forgotten. But you know, sometime in this life, it might take a catastrophe of grief that bring you and I and us to the repentance altar of God. We know that it prompted the psalmist to cry out in anguish, my tears have been my food, hallelujah, day and night, while they continue to say to me, where is your God? You know, when you're experiencing trials and tribulations, your friends, your loved ones might ask the same thing. Where's your God, girl? You go to church every Sunday. You go to church through the week. You go to Bible study. You go to tent meetings. You go to revival meetings. You go to prayer service. And you're just on the go all the time. But girl and man, when you are experiencing your trials and tribulations, where is your God that you love so well? You know, people say that once and again. The struggle of our heart. But we know that while the rest of the world have went on their business as usual, we can carry in our heart the deep need for complete healing. But only as we submit our brokenness to the good and great shepherd of our hearts can we find the peace that allow you and I and us to respond to life. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope in God is the only solution for the deep tsunami, the trauma of yours and mine and our heart. We know that the Christian hope is in the Lord. We can rest secure in his sure word. And though we're tempted to despair, we do not doubt that God is always there. I want to encourage you on this morning. No one is hopeless whose hope is in God. In an ending, I hope and I pray that I said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer and pray with you, hallelujah, that the prayer petition that you'd place at the foot of God would come to fruition. You are greatly, hallelujah, you are greatly invited to call in. We'll open up the prayer request line. We call it the dial-up prayer request line. And you're cordially invited to call in if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to touch and agree in prayer. The prayer petition that you place at the altar of God, you can call in right now and speak live with the host, yours truly, because we know that God is still answering prayer. God is still a miracle worker. God is still opening the blinded eyes. God is still opening up the deaf ears. God is still allowing the dumb to talk and the lame to walk. Hallelujah. Told the lame man to pick up your bed and start walking. Hallelujah. In that very hour. He's the same God as days ago as he is right now. He hadn't changed. We change. We change our clothes. We change our demeanor. We change our hair color. We change the way we walk, the way we talk. But God is a God that never changes. He stays the same. He never changed. We stop loving God, but God never stopped loving us. We turn away from God. We backslide. We go back into the world after knowing God, after having lived for God for a number of years, and we decided that we miss something out in the world and we're going to turn back and go out into the world. But God never turns his back on us. God even holds the door open. God leaves the hotel light on for you and I and us to come back, hallelujah, and tell God that we're sorrowful for the sins that we have committed before God. Ask God to forgive us and accept us, hallelujah, back into his good grace, back into his mercy, to serve him this time forevermore until he cracked those clouds one historical day. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. So we have the call up prayer petition line that's open. It's open for anyone that desire a prayer. You can call in with your prayer petition. God says make your prayer request now. I don't care what you're going through. You might say, Ward, I'm going through a financial crisis. I'm here to tell you that God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. God owns Dow Jones. God owns the stock market. God owns the diamond store. God owns all the financial institute. God owns you and I, and us, as I have far stated earlier. We are not of our own, for we were bought with a price, a blood price. That is, that God sent his son, pay the cost, pay the penalty, and it's paid in full. Hallelujah. Right now. God is waiting at the door of salvation, waiting for you to knock on the door so God can open up the door and allow his presence into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Do you have any prayer petitions? You want to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been produced by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Elect Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. You are encouraged to buckle up at Jesus at your will because he is people-friendly. Hallelujah. I'm encouraging you to go in God and allow God to go in you. So we're going to change the format of our program. We're going to now bring you the second phase of our program, and that is the Old Ship of Zion, where we just bring hymns of Zion to minister the remainder of this program, to just inspire you, to uplift you, to uproot you in your despondency. We're aimed to bless your soul, and God will do the rest. God will do the mending of a broken heart. Hallelujah. So we just want you to be encouraged. Till we meet again across these airways and skyways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Hallelujah. That is not the song that we want at this time. All right. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Thank you.
Thank you. brother's gonna break you off like this. Vanessa. Come on, come on. Put your hands in the air. Like you just don't care. And if you're ready for Vanessa, oh yeah, come on.
Yeah. No failure. Never make a Thank you.